Jason's going to have some very unique insights for you guys. He's done so many things. We used to film our products together, backyards, playgrounds. We just filmed them outdoors, and we did real well with them, real well with them. We would do seminars in hotels because at the time we didn't own gyms. Smitty. We rented a hotel. My brother's working at the hotel. This guy brought stones. Jason brought a truckload of kettlebells. I brought sandbags. We just did it. You know, we didn't care. We brought the people in. Jason has really, you know, he lives the code. He's true to himself, and he's just this guy who's constantly evolving. He's an amazing guy. As a friend, coach, one of the smartest guys out there. But what you're going to learn from him really is about the life stuff. Because sometimes we take the path that we think is right, or we think the grass is greener on the other side, and then we get there, and we're kind of like, oh, shit. And he's going to make you dig deep and think about what you're doing and who you are and where you want to go. So listen to him. You're going to learn more about him. His website is kettlebellathletics.com, and you could announce the other one whenever you want to. But this guy's awesome. And I think when I introduced him to my mastermind, what did I call you? Coach Bad Motherfucker?
I don't know.
I think so, because he does jiu-jitsu. So Quattro Deuce spoke, he was speaking, and I said, Coach Bad Motherfucker is going to be speaking at the mastermind. I go, when he talks, you listen. I go, you don't ask questions. He asks questions. I go, if you call out, he will choke you out. And for Quattro Deuce, it was like, he could kill you with his left hand with his eyes closed. Listen to what he says. So they didn't know who was who. They already had nicknames. So Jason C. Brown is my boy, Coach Bad Motherfucker.
Thank you, brother.
To hit that.
I'm good to
go.
We
don't have a,
okay.
You're good?
Cool. Yeah. Zach has a new name for me every week, so. Zach wanted me to talk about some of our crazy stories together, but our origin story of how we came together, we spent all night at this thing called Fitness Prosperity. It was one of the craziest and probably one of the stupidest, most stupid, if that's the word, right? Most stupid fitness conventions I've ever been to was all night. I don't know what time it started, but like 9 until 6 a.m.
8 p.m. to 4 a.m.
8 p.m. to 4 p.m. It was all night. We were all exhausted. And this knucklehead at 4 a.m. said, Jason, I'm a big fan of your kettlebell training. Do you mind if we kettlebell train out in the parking lot? It was like, Zach, man, it's 4 a.m. I'd really like to go back up to the room and get some sleep. And he's like, no, I'm really a fan of your kettlebell training. Can we go train? I was like, oh, this dude is freaking enthusiastic, so I better fucking, oops, sorry. I better,
hey, curse, let it go.
I better go train with Zach, right? So we go down, we're in the parking lot, I change into shorts, we get warming up. Zach goes behind a dumpster, he goes, I'm going to go change real quick. I'll be right back, right? So I turn around, and here's Zach. Right? He's like, I'm all ready, let's go. And his black speedies with his man boobs. And his little Soviet military hat. So I thought that was a very weird beginning, right? So then after that, Zach says, yo, dude, I'm doing this thing called Underground Strength Coach. I'm going to have my first Underground Strength Coach barbecue. It's going to be at the Jersey Shore. Please come down. I'm inviting all my friends, right? Elliot's going to be there. Brandon's going to be there. We're going to have a good time. So I get in my car. I drive down to the Jersey Shore. And can you guys see this? This is what I pull up to. All right? Zach's training. Paulie's not here because there's no baseball cap. All right? There's Brandon with his nice white glutes. Unfortunately, Allison couldn't make it that day. But here's Elliot with his nice little brown butt. All right? Kettlebell training on the Jersey Shore. We should make a reality show about that. All right? But that's the first Underground Strength Coach barbecue. I quickly left when Elliot started to talk about penis creation and penis destruction. I had enough, so I hit the road. All right, so Zach and I have had a lot of up and downs together. My latest project is called Pathfinder Method. I just launched it yesterday, actually. The response has been quite a bit, pretty awesome. I got a lot of emails from a lot of injured folks and a lot of people that are sort of not your demographic, sort of like a... We'll talk about it more. But as you evolve, your clientele will evolve. And I have evolved I was sort of in the same place as Zach and you guys, and I'm shifting more towards, I want to say, a Zen approach to conditioning. So we'll talk a little bit about Pathfinder method is based off of 6 pillars. We'll talk a little bit about those pillars, but also how they apply to directly to what we're all going through as professionals and your situation maybe. So the first Pathfinder pillar is pleasure, right? Pleasure. Pleasure makes everything easier. What you enjoy doing, you will do even if you don't get paid for it. And I'm sure as coaches, you guys have always been coaches. You've always enjoyed coaching. Less friction equals more momentum. When you enjoy what you do, when you derive pleasure from what you do, there's no friction. There's no struggle. You don't have to fight about waking up at 5 in the morning because you're freaking psyched to go and train. You're psyched to go coach. All right? When there's no friction, when it's enjoyable, when it's pleasurable, it's productive. It's easy. It's easy for you to wake up in the morning. It's easy for you to go to work. It's easy for you to see those clients and their athletes. And it's productive and you kick ass all day long. All right? Pathfinder pleasure principle, number one, pillar. I love KY jelly, by the way. You guys probably don't know. I think that's from our parents' generation, so I don't think we use it anymore. Closely associated with pillar number one, and Zach and I have talked about this a lot of times. Zach has a master's in physical education. My degree is in kinesiology. Zach was actually a physical educator for 10 years? 11 years. But here's the important thing. Zach no longer felt it. He felt like he was up against a wall. He felt like he was running into bureaucrats, red tape. He felt like the rest of the teachers that he had to deal with were just there to get the tenure and get the hell out. They weren't committed. They weren't passionate about working with the kids. He no longer felt it. I think his salary was pretty good. He had benefits and everything else like that, but he no longer felt it. So, how do you feel? This is the most important thing, and this goes directly back to pleasure. How do you want to feel? And then do the things that make you feel that way. For example, in my own life, and we'll talk about evolution also. I've been playing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu since 1997. But all my clientele. Well, I didn't start training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu players up until the 2000s. So what did I do? I trained moms. And I trained people, not necessarily that I was interested in training. But deep down inside, I was like, man, this is not my demographic. I want to train grapplers. I want to train combat athletes. I didn't feel it in my heart. So I had to evolve, and I had to evolve my clientele. I had to move in a direction. Now I only train judo players, Brazilian jiu-jitsu players, and mixed martial artists. That's it. I see about 5 a day, and the rest of the time, I email Smitty and Facebook Smitty. Eddie ignores me. But no, I'm joking. No, never. So first thing you got to do is figure out how you want to feel and then do those things. If it doesn't feel right, Jesus. If it does not feel right, don't do it. Zach probably had to have a heart-to-heart with himself. Good benefits, decent salary, good salary. Man, but it just wasn't in him anymore. He couldn't stand going into work and dealing with those bureaucrats and that red tape. So he said, screw it. And now look at this. Look at what he's created out of what he loves to do. Underground strength coach. First underground strength conference. Man's a genius. He's a legend, right? So, nobody can argue with your feelings. I get into discussion all the time with my wife. She's a very practical chemical engineer. She works for General Electric. She has a very good salary. She gives us our benefits. She doesn't understand the entrepreneurial mindset. She goes to work 9 to 5. She absolutely loves it, gets a nice paycheck. I couldn't do that. I could not go and talk about dust. That's what she does. She controls dust. She goes to factories and says, this is how we're going to handle your dust control. Right? I couldn't do that. I'd rather slice my wrist, right? You have to feel. You have to be passionate about what you're doing, right? You have to live the code. All right? Awesome. Pathfinder pillar number 2. Ah, that doesn't show up well. Okay. Purpose. And I love this quote, and I got this from a book called It's Not What You're Selling, It's What You Stand For. All right? Not what you're selling, it's what you stand for. Purpose is the pathway to high performance. Purpose is the pathway to high performance. The photo's not coming out really well, but I'll show you this little photo on my computer if you're interested. That's my oldest son, and that is a Hoist Gracie doll or action figure on a skateboard. And he is my purpose. Him and my other two guys are my purpose. Like many of you guys, like Zach, I used to wake up for over half of my life, three quarters of my life, I've been waking up at 4:30, 4 o'clock. As soon as I had kids, that really started to suck. Not because they kept me up that night, but because I hated saying goodbye to them that early, kissing them in their crib and then walking out the rest of the day. And then oftentimes, and you know your schedules, how many people here work split shifts? Right? Train in the morning and then have to go back for clients in the afternoon or the evening, right? Most of that's just the way it is. You have to train people before work and after work. That's just the schedule that we have to keep. I wasn't there for them in the mornings, and I wasn't there for them in the evenings. It really sucked. My purpose now is to be there as much as I can for my sons. And that's what drives my business, and that's what drives my lifestyle. Purpose is the pathway to high performance. When you have a little boy or three little boys looking you in the face at night saying, "Daddy, please don't go," you're going to change shit up. And that was my purpose. All right. I remember when I was young, my dad was a construction worker. He worked, I'm from the Poconos in Pennsylvania. Sometimes he would go to New York for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. Man, I missed the guy. I don't want to be that dad. I want to be there for my sons. So that's what drives my business and my purpose right now. All right, Pathfinder pillar number 3, the practice. You always have to be practicing your skill, what you want to be good at, coaching, leadership. Your skill set, physically, but also coaching, inspirationally, educationally. Right? Practice. Practice as a verb. What are you practicing now? But more importantly, practice as a noun. What is your practice? What is your practice? Do you wake up early and get your training in? Do you eat well? Do you make sure you don't freaking shout at your wife or your spouse or your kid or your grumpy overworked dad or mom or whatever, right? What is your practice? All right? I use the term practice. Zach uses the term code. They're interchangeable. You're living the code or you're walking your practice. Practice as a noun. That's huge, at least for me. All right? That's Pathfinder pillar number 3. Number 4, the process. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the experience. Yesterday on Facebook, when I launched Pathfinder, what am I doing here? There we go. Thank you, sir. Yesterday on Facebook, or Tuesday when I launched Pathfinder, we were talking about the experience. And there's this story. I have a friend, Frank Ferencich, from Exuberant Animal. Just got done walking through the mountains of Northern California for 2 to 3 hours. Hiking, beautiful, loved it. First thing he was asked when he got to the bottom of the mountain was, "What was your time? How long did it take you?" Who freaking cares how long it took me? I was checking out birds, animals, the view, the scents, the sensations. I got underneath a waterfall. I took my shoes off and swam in the creek. I say creek where I'm from. You guys might say creek. Right? But the experience, the process is just as important as the goal. Russell Simmons in his book, Do You, right? He talks about obsessive goal setting. People want to set goals and goals and goals, and we always use that term, keep your eye on the target, keep your eyes on the target, keep your eyes on the target. But if you're always keeping your eye on the target, you don't have your vision on the path. And that's when you stumble, that's when you trip, that's when you get poked in the eye by a thorn or whatever. You need to keep your eyes on the path. You need to keep your eyes on the process as well as that goal. You need to go back and forth. All right? The process is just as important as the outcome. Screw the obsessive goal setting. Oftentimes when you do what you love and you're engrossed in the process, everything else will happen. I never set one financial goal ever. Ever. I love my life. I love my lifestyle, but I never sat down and said, this year I'm going to make $200,000. I just never did it. And I enjoy absolutely everything I do. And it's all based off of these driving pillars. Is it in line with my purpose? Is it in line with my path? If it's not, I'm not doing it. I don't care if I didn't sell that 20 cents. Zach was talking about this when I came in. He didn't promote shit that didn't feel right. I'm not promoting shit that doesn't feel right. I don't care if it's a $27 ebook on 6-minute abs or whatever. I'm not doing it. If it's not in line with my purpose and in these pillars, I'm not doing it. So that's financially and also spiritually. The place, and Zach and I always talk about this, the place. Where is your practice? The dojo is always open. When Zach and I first started talking and training together, I trained out of my trunk. I had kettlebells, sandbags, bands, agility ladders, everything out of my trunk. I took the training wherever my clientele were. Later on, I bought a facility, 1,000 square foot facility. We were the 9th, I believe, CrossFit affiliate. This was way back in 2005. It was 1,000 square foot facility. It was awesome for a time. We moved into a 2,500 roughly square foot facility about 5 years later. I recently sold it off to my partner. That was awesome. But now I'm going back to sort of the traveling. I have absolutely no overhead. I train my jiu-jitsu guys out of other facilities. I go to the academy where I train Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Guess what? If there's a roof leak, I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to buy new mats. I don't have to worry of whether there's freaking toilet paper in the bathroom or if there's hand sanitizer or if whatever. I don't have to worry about it. I give the guy, here's this much this month, $200. I train 20 people. Here we go. Boom. So the dojo is always open. All right? By the way, Zach sort of screwed me over. He said, don't do PowerPoint. I come in here, he's got 40 slides, right? What did he say, Elliot? Where's Elliot? Oh, did he take off? No slides, right? Finally, Pathfinder pillar number 6. Yeah. I know you woke up at 4 in the morning and put those together. Right? Patience, persistence. This goes right along with the process, enjoying the process. Zach and I were having this discussion yesterday. Everybody wants to make $200,000 their first year in business. I understand that. I love money also, and I love the stuff that money provides. But you have to be patient. You have to put in your time. This goes back to the practice. Where are you devoting your time? Are you becoming the best coach that you can absolutely become? There's no quick fixes. There's an Aikido black belt. His name is George Leonard. He has an awesome book. It's called Mastery. He has a whole chapter on America's all-out war on mastery. Right? I remember a time when legit fitness professionals used to make fun of 6-minute abs. Do you remember that? We used to make fun of 6-minute abs. Now, that's all we see from what we consider legit fitness professionals. Nobody is discussing mastery. It's all Quattro Fitness, right? 4-minute workouts. Tabata this, Tabata that, Tabata get in and out. Forget it. This is one reason why I do like CrossFit. Ring work, reintroduction of gymnastics back into the curriculum. Huge. Reintroduction into Olympic weightlifting back into the curriculum. All these things require a certain level and a very devoted amount of skill work. Mastery. You have to approach it as a master. Take your time. Be persistent. Be consistent. Right? Little drops of water wear away stone. Here's that Zen stuff. Here's that little drops of water wear away stone, not because of its intensity, but because it drips a little bit every day. It's consistent and persistent over time. Cool? All right. I also like the analogy of a snowball. Avalanches, that's the quick fix. Avalanches are destructive, right? Snowballs are fun. Right? Snowmen are fun. I remember when I was young, we'd start off with a snowball this big and we would roll this this tall, and we would put it right in the middle of the street. And then we would watch the cars come down and try to zigzag around it. We would do like a whole little obstacle course. We would do like five or six of these things. And the cars would be like, what are you fucking kids, right? Well, it was fun. Snowballs are fun. Big snowmen are fun. Avalanches are destructive. Quick fixes are destructive. Transformations, skinny jeans, transformations. How about we talk about lifestyle habits? How about we talk about, dude, just eat freaking one floret of broccoli per day. You don't have any green vegetables in your diet? Let's just talk about that. One per day. Next month we're going to handle two. Right? Screw the 30-day transformations and skinny jean contest. Let's talk about mastery. Let's talk about consistency on the fundamentals. Let's talk about walking, running, climbing, crawling. Let's talk about that stuff. All right? That's my little rant. I'm sorry. I don't have anything else to say either.
Hey, there's a big business idea from that. Like Jason talking about the 30 days or the whatever it is or the 2 weeks. That is very difficult to keep getting a turnaround of people, right? To keep getting new people for the 30 days, the whatever, the 4 minutes, is the this, the that. If the focus is on long-term development and they see that you evolve, your courses evolve, your courses help them evolve, they're going to stay with you. Because they're going to see that they grow. What happens after 30 days? Then what? You see what I'm saying? Now we got to do another challenge to get you this, to get you that. Those are also people that are looking for the quick fixes. They're probably not the best. You know, I'm not sure what, you know, how I like to say clients, you know, I say my students. We don't like to do those quick fixes. We want commitment. We want dedication, because that's the true... You know, that's where the true success comes. Fitness and health and all that stuff is not to the, you know, this 30 days. So, do you see where he's moving? The one thing that, you know, Jason, I remember when we first met, we were training people out of the back of our trunk, out of the playgrounds. I remember you telling me how you meet people at like the local track. And I remember I came to the opening day of his gym. And it was packed, shoulder to shoulder. And I was like, holy shit, this place is packed. And I saw his evolution of how he let himself evolve. Okay, just like your training and all those things will evolve. If you just have those quick fixes, you're going to lose people. But as Jason evolved, the people have stuck with him through the decade. It's been 10 years. A guy who had a gym, created his own certification course. This guy's traveled this country extensively doing certifications for other gyms, but he keeps moving towards what he loves to do and what he feels is right in his heart. And even now, you're still evolving.
Yeah, as Zach and I always talk about this, the grass is not always greener. When I had the facilities in Philadelphia, I actually had two. They're about 30 minutes apart from one another. I was like, dude, I wish I could just do my certifications, travel on the weekends, and that would be awesome. No facilities, no waking up at 5 a.m., right? Now, I got my wish. I don't do anything but seminars and workshops. That's 100% of my income other than the online stuff. But guess what's the hardest thing to do on Thursday or Friday night? Say goodbye to my sons. I won't see you until Monday morning, Tuesday morning, right? Then I have to FaceTime with the family for 4 days while I'm in Los Angeles or whatever, you know, Chicago. Recently, I was just, I don't even know, this was one of the worst trips I've ever on. I was in Boston, and I got strep throat. Anybody here ever get strep throat? It's like 104-degree fever. And I was like, how the hell am I going to get home? I need to get home. I need to see the doctor. Fuck it. I had to suffer. I had to suffer for 4 days until I could make it back. Traveling is rough. It's rough on you. If you're single, it might be awesome. Or if you travel with your spouse or you travel with your family, might be awesome. But when you have to have three little kids at home and they cannot go because of their school and stuff like that, I try to take them as often as I can. But our point is, you're going to evolve. And what makes you happy will change. And you're going to have to be adaptive to that process. Right? So, I've come 360 degrees. Now, I'm actually toying around with the idea of having another little facility. Nothing huge, maybe 500 square feet. Get some rogue fitness gear. I already got it all in my garage. 500 square feet. Train my jiu-jitsu guys in there, and that's it. Very low overhead. I might even just buy a garage and not even have a commercial facility, and just say this is on the DL. Just give me some cash. We don't even need to discuss, you know, commercial real estate. I know it's illegal. Training at the park was illegal too.
I know.
Training at the park was illegal. Run from the cops.
Just make sure your friends don't fucking call out your name.
Yeah.
Two things. So you see how Jason has evolved. Gym owner, multiple gym owner, always did online products. Okay? The online stuff is what allows him to evolve quickly and be very flexible. That's something you got to keep in mind. And we're going to definitely hit that tomorrow when we have the business Q&A panel. And even today. It's just the multiple streams of income allows you to be flexible and very evolutionary with your physical training. I don't have to train anyone and everyone because we have the online aspect that allows me to be more selective with the gym. The other thing that I don't think anybody in this room thinks about, I want you to stop for a second and really think this. You may have to write it down. I never thought about this. And I started realizing I have a job, not an actual business.
Yes.
Where do you want your business to be in a year? What about in 10 years? So how will it grow? You got to evolve. One thing that I think Jason's done a great job of, and I was pushed to do this, you know, and I probably wouldn't have done it if I didn't know Paulie, but I resisted growth. Mm. And many of you resist growth, and evolution and growth are not quite the same. Evolution is you're changing kind of in your heart, so things change. Growth means it expands. People were telling me, Zach, you should just hold a big conference with training, with business. You got to do it more. I resisted. But that's what people wanted. I resisted growing my gym because I didn't want to have more than one coach. If you resist growth, you will stress yourself out. So here would be an example. Is anybody here a coach at somebody else's facility? Anybody? Okay. Let's say deep in your heart, and you may love that. That might be perfect for you. But let's say in your heart, you keep seeing yourself having your own place. All the coaches here, by the way, have all different types of business models, so I think your mind might change as you listen to them. And my mind has totally changed about how to run a gym and what a gym should look like or actually run like. But fuck was I even talking about?
I don't know.
This guy losing it. What the hell was I saying?
Stress.
Stress, yeah. Okay. You probably have this like ideal or this image in your head of where you want to go. But you're waiting for like all these perfect times, these perfect moments. You're stressing yourself out. That is the most stressful thing you could do. Bless you.
Thank you.
To hold yourself back from going where you're supposed to be growing. Okay? You have a coaching group that Paul and I are in called Strategic Coach. They do it
ten times. I'm in it.
JC Brown, I got a minute.
Where's Paul?
Paul back there. Okay. He talks about there was these 40 objections to growing your business.
The ten times mindset, yeah.
And comfortable with being scared. That's why this guy he's like always ready to make the jump because he knows he can do it. He's like, hey man, he's like, I don't even know if I want to do this stuff anymore. I'm willing to let it go because he knows if he lets something go, he'll, you know, evolve more, he'll grow. And sometimes you need somebody to tell you that. You need somebody to tell you. You are where you are last year. There's nothing different. There's nothing better. You haven't grown. Does that make sense, guys? Don't resist the growth. And sometimes you end up lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Goes back to the code. Honesty to self and honesty to others. Don't tell me that, you know, anything's different today than it was last year. So always the question to ask yourself is, if I see you in a year, if we come back in a year, write this down, in 1 year, what will it take for you to be truly happy. In 1 year, take a minute, write it down. I guarantee you know it. I know where I want to be in a year. I know where I want my business to be like. Jason knows what he wants to do on the weekends. Okay? Do you see how clear it is in his head? It's a movie in his head. In 1 year, if we come here again in a year, will you be happy? Only if ABC happens, right? Now, you have that list. Now you have all these things that need to be done to make the list happen. Does that make sense? You guys get that? You have to evolve, like Jason's saying, don't fear it.
Zach used the word growth, he used evolve also. And I'm really into words and alternative meanings of words, and I read this and I thought it was pretty awesome. There's evolution, and then there's revolution. And people always talk about revolution, revolution. Revolution is what I did for many years. It's a 360-degree circle. It revolves. And when you come back, you're in the same damn spot you were before. That's revolution. Evolution is a completely new entity. It's a completely new attribute, element, whatever you want to think about. You have to evolve. Don't revolve. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the same spot. Paul, you'll know this term also. Zach just mentioned it really briefly. The necessary lie. We tell ourselves necessary lies to make ourselves feel better. That's a strategy coach term. Necessary lie. Well, if I only get that one other client, then I'll be happy. I just need that one other client to be happy. Well, guess what? Instead of waking up at 4 o'clock now, you got to get up at 3:30 because you got that necessary lie. You got that one other client, but she can only train at 4 a.m. Right? So we tell ourselves these necessary lies. You got to dig deep. You got to go back to that purpose. I want to tell you something else too. Oh, purpose. This is huge. My sons are very active. This little guy in the photo can do 23 pull-ups, which is, he's 8. He can do 23 pull-ups. He's got 3 muscle-ups. That's 3 more than me, right? Pull-ups is about 10 more than me, right? Dead hang anyways.
I always crush this guy.
Yeah,
when
it crushes.
When we did the workout videos,
fucker.
If it had pull-ups involved, I was the guy to do it. He would be sitting on the park bench. I remember that.
I can get more weight overhead, though. You know that.
Sure.
Right?
There is video footage.
There's 2 video footages of that. Mike Staley's. Yeah.
Nick Leo wants to know if
his son does
coaching.
No, he does coaching. Yeah, I know. Right? No, but that, you know, that leads exactly into what I was going to talk about. My purpose. My sons love to go to the gym with me. They love to be there. They talk about wanting to be coaches when they grow up. I want to create a legacy for them. They talk about taking over the business when I'm done. I would be so honored and so touched if my sons grew up to be coaches and they help people to move, play. The tagline for Pathfinder Method, if you guys want to go there and check out my new project, is move better, play more, and recreate heroically. We don't talk enough about play, and we don't talk enough about recreation. I say recreation instead of recreation because recreation doesn't really resonate with anybody. Recreate, you get the idea right away. But my purpose, I want to create a legacy. I want these guys to grow up, and they're already awesome. But I want them to be able to affect change and help people and influence and inspire other individuals. Take over where I left off. So.
When you hear, I think you got to tell it to them a little bit. When you guys run a training business or a gym, we're all getting stuck. And you're going to hear our coaches talk a little bit differently, how they're different. And a friend and mentor of mine just rolled up from out of the country. Dax Moy's in the back. He's going to be speaking tomorrow on Q&A panel. He has really broken away from the norms of what a traditional gym or personal training studio should be. And I'm going to just give you a quick touch upon it, and Jason's going to explain. At Paulie's GFGI seminar, I spoke to guys. I said this. I go, what if whoever, I don't know if you believe in God or whatever, what if somebody told you, you have 30 days to live, and during these 30 days, I want you to focus on your passion, and you get to, you know, and use your passion on whoever, you know, those people are that you want to work with. In 30 days, if you have not changed their life, you will die. So I said, tell me what you guys are going to do. So one dude says, I go, you got 30 days to live. If you didn't change somebody's life, you're dead. You will be done. If you change lives, you get to live. So I said, tell me, somebody, write down what you're going to do. I need a minute. And one dude's like, I'm going to train young kids. I'm going to turn them into bad motherfuckers. I go, how? What are you going to do? He's like, I'm just going to fucking train them. I go, no. I go, you're dead. That ain't going to work. Other guy goes, I'm going to teach people the old school ways of strength. I go, tell me what you're going to do to make it happen. He says, I'm going to run a seminar. I go, you're fucking dead too. I go, the seminar is just not enough. It's not life-changing enough. Is it different? It has to be different. It must be unique. And my current gym model, to the next one that will happen, the next one that I'm going to create is going to be completely different. It's not even going to be a quote-unquote gym. But I said, dude, bless you. I go, you need to fucking rent a rundown warehouse. Tell them that you want it for 2 days. You tell those guys that they're going to fucking spend those 2 days, the full-blown weekend. They're going to be sleeping in the warehouse. Bring your sleeping bags. We're going to fucking get chicken. We're going to fucking cook the chicken over the fire. We're going to do this like the old school days.
Go to get chicken.
It was going to be basically a two-day excursion. Chicken, meat, whatever the fuck I told them. But just
chicken
doing a
farm.
Seminar isn't enough. To teach them how to squat, to teach them how to, you know, do the... It's not life-changing. You see how everybody's going down the same path? Jason, tell them about what you're looking to be doing with Pathfinder, and then you guys tell me. Does that sound like that is life-changing? Will he survive the 30-day challenge?
So, when I launch Pathfinder this week, they get an auto... Everybody knows what an autoresponder is? First email they get is, tell me where you're struggling. Where do you need help? Let me help you. Over 200 people emailed me back and said, I'm so freaking bored within the gym. Help me. I'm just not inspired. I'm bored. People are looking for something different. And I just put up a post. It's called Help for the Numerically Obsessed. Right? We keep searching for numbers. We keep searching for numbers. And this goes back to the process. I truly believe that the quality of life, our quality of life, is directly related to our quality of movement. But more importantly, it's directly related to the quality of our experiences. If you don't enjoy yourselves, people will stop coming. You have to provide something unique, as Zach said. Bench presses will only take people so far. Squats will only take people so far. Zach has done an awesome job of this. Creating a community where people, creating a third spot. I think Starbucks uses that term, third place, third spot. You have to create a place that is so unique that people absolutely love to go to. You have to create a training experience where people freaking can't wait to get there until 5 o'clock. The world doesn't need another push-up tutorial. It doesn't need another sit-up tutorial or a crunch tutorial. It needs inspiration. The fitness industry as a whole only affects 2% of the population. Think about how many gyms there are. There's 50 people right here. If we put all of our forces together and all the little freaking stupid gyms like whatever, what do you guys have up here? Planet 19 or whatever, what is it?
Planet Fitness.
2%. And despite our best efforts, obesity rises, diabetes rises, all those lifestyle factors keep rising. It's because we make shit, well, not us, I think we do an awesome job within this room, but as a whole, people don't enjoy working out because it's bored. We tell people 30 minutes on the elliptical, then give me 3 sets of 10 of this, 3 sets of 10 of that. Where the hell is the inspiration? Where is the experience in that? You need to teach people on a level that's different than just their physicality.
Well, tell them like you're, you know, tell them real quick. You're like, I got this. 3 places that I'm going to take Pathfinders on.
Okay.
Just do that so they understand, oh, he's not just going to train them. This is a different way to train people and run a business. So check this out.
So we're going to have something called Pathfinder Excursions. You guys can't steal that. I think somebody else is trying to steal it already. Right? Pathfinder Excursions. One will be Pathfinder Picnics. That's a little corny. I might change that. If anybody comes up with another P word that they want to give me, that's awesome. But Pathfinder something. Right? Pathfinder Picnics, it's a one-day event. All the training will be done outdoors. And it's going to be completely about the process, the sensations, and the experience.
Sounds like a porno.
Pathfinder pillar number one, pleasure, right? Pleasure. What was that?
Call it that, Pathfinder Porn.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
So,
I like that. My wife invites me out to these dinner parties all the time with people I can't really stand. So when they say, you know, that typical question, what do you do for a living? I tell them I'm in adult film, and then I never get invited back. My wife hates it, but I don't, screw it. I'm not going back. I never get invited back. But the other one will be Pathfinder Excursions, and those are 3 to 5 day outdoor training environments. And again, that's going to be completely based on the experience, the process, and the sensations. Tons of studies. Anybody ever read Last Child in the Woods? Anybody ever hear of it? He also wrote a book called, it's Dr. Louv, L-O-U-V. The Nature Principle was his second book. He talks about something called nature deficit disorder. Children have something called nature deficit disorder. They're in front of a screen 50 hours per week. When you count all the hours they're outside, it's like 3, right? Adults can also get that. And there's multiple studies of people that are sick in a hospital. The people with a view of trees recover quicker. English is my fourth language. They recover quicker than people that have a view of brick or a view of anything. Being outdoors in vitamin nature, as he calls it, vitamin N, is huge. So all the Pathfinder excursions will be done outdoors.
Do you see how... I think some of us might be saying this, be like, man, James C. Brown's a fucking weirdo. But you see how
I am a weirdo, but it's all right.
He is a little bit weird, but I love this guy. But do you see how he's got people ready to do these excursions? He's going to say, we're going to go on the West Coast. We're going to be in the Appalachian Trails. We're going to be out here.
We've got 2 spots picked out. One is the Alpine. It's Pathfinder Alpine. That's the Northwest. And we got Pathfinder Appalachia. Are you in Appalachia? Sort of, right? You're a little too west. Yeah.
Smitty's out with, Sasquatch.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, Sasquatch, right? Yeah. So, he is Sasquatch.
A lot of you guys think, you know, oh, this might be too weird, but there's people just fucking waiting for something different. So when you think about the stuff that Jason's going over with you, he's really telling you to discover your path. If you guys are having a hard time, seriously, always go back to a whiteboard and say, 30-day challenge, live or die. What can I give within this next 30 days to change people's lives and inspire them? And if you don't step up your game, seriously, just say, you know, just say, dude, this ain't cutting it. This isn't enough. And I think that's a big reason why the kids come to the underground. Because I'm just like, when I'm there, I'm on fire. I freaked out on them lately. And then they like text me, they're like, that was awesome speech. I was like, damn, I was like crazy on them. But they loved it. Because it was somebody giving them fire, giving them passion. They're going through their day-to-day or their life, whether they're adults or athletes. They're going through engaging with many people that just don't have fire. So when I told them, they were like fucking it up. I said, I ain't fucking coaching this workout. I was like, you're going to be a fucking team. You spot him. You get on that side. Nobody stands around. You change the weights. Go bend your ass over and figure out what the fuck that weight plate weighs. Like, don't ask me what it weighs. I was like, we're fucking together. I was like, you're here, you do your best, or nothing else. We had these 2 brothers, didn't show up for 2 weeks. I go, you're fucking dead. I go, you didn't show up for fucking 2 weeks. I go, you are fucking dead today. I go, then when you're done, you better say sorry to your dad. And they were shitting their pants. And that's when the kids like text me like, that was an awesome speech. And I said, that's from the heart. But you know what? Paul's like, come on, guys. You know, we got to really do this. That's nothing. They're going to leave. You got to fire people up. You got 30 days to change somebody's life. What do you do? Okay, that's what you got to think about. Jay, are you going to be around for Q&A at the end today? Or you
no,
got to go back and pick up the kids?
Got to get the kids. Let me talk about 2 things real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
From all the email replies I got from launching Pathfinder, 2 things that really popped out. One, and I know most of the people in this room, probably all, really enjoy high-intensity training and love giving your clients and athletes high-intensity training. But many of the emails I received, I would say in the hundreds, said, shit's just too intense for me. I got a lot of emails, actually from vets that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. They said, I can't deal with the high intensity. A lot of broken athletes, 51 years old, 59 years old, ex-martial artists, it's just too intense. Some career advice, think about offering more gentle options to the clientele or in athletes, at least encouraging them to engage in less intense activity. There's nothing wrong with going for a walk with your friends, lovers, whatever, right?
Hold hands, guys.
Yeah, hold hands. I know, I'm real freaking gay.
Can they, I think we've got 10 minutes. When you're done with your thing, can they ask like two, yeah, maybe three questions before B comes up?
Also, and play. A lot of people, George Leonard, this guy that wrote Mastery, he's an Aikido black belt. I take his principles and apply them to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo. But one of his biggest things, are there any Judo or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu players in the room? I know some wrestlers, right? It's, for all practical purposes, look at those sports. They require a lot of hard work, right? They require a lot of dedication, risky behavior. I had staff last year. It cost me $4,000 and four trips to the ER. Completely screwed up my freaking vacation to Brazil, right? Risky behavior. You're going to get hurt, chances are. But you know why you do it? Why do BJJ players do it and judo players and martial arts do it, wrestlers do it? Because you're playing. Because it's freaking fun. And that's why you do it. And people will do shit as long as it's fun, as long as it's pleasurable. Freaking sex is dangerous, right? But people... Right? Right? Yeah, well, let me...
At the penis porno. Penis
porno. There will be mud wrestling at the Pathfinder excursions. So, let me just... Because I love wordplay, I want when people... Besides telling them that I do adult film, right? When people say, what kind of business do you have? This is what I tell them. Come on, buddy. Boom, 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 boom. What's my business model? I'm a sole proprietor, not a soul proprietor. I own my freaking soul. I do whatever the hell I want. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah. You go talk about dust.
He's got the fuck you list right there.
Q&A?
We got a couple of minutes, and then we're going to take a 5-minute break before B goes up. What's B goes up at 11:30?
Yeah.
11:30. Let's do like 7 minutes. Listen, he's had a gym. He's had a partner. He's sold a gym. He's created his own certification. He's been hired by major gym chains to run their certifications. He's a bad mofo. But yeah, he's evolving. Dude, ask some questions. What can you learn from this guy that used to train out of his car and then travels around the country?
He loves
his soul. What can you... Come on, ask him a question.
Hey, sir.
What was the point... Obviously, you took a huge shift into whatever it is.
Yes.
What was the point of your life that you knew that this is where you're going to take that Zen approach, the whole soul, the heart, everything?
I've always been in... I remember being six. I grew up in a rural area and practicing freaking ninjas and samurais when I was six. I had freaking throwing stars. I've always been attracted to Japanese culture. So, that's it, yeah. Eastern cult, Indian as well, Sanskrit.
In my experience, most of the martial artists that I've tried to track, they're like, well, you know, they don't want to take time away from like doing jiu-jitsu or doing their martial arts. They're like, why should I, you know, if I want to get better at jiu-jitsu, I need to do more jiu-jitsu. So how did you leverage that transition?
Yes, it's a very good point. And one thing to consider, Zach and I always talk about this too. Average jiu-jitsu schools, at least on the East Coast, 150 to 200 per month. I don't know what you guys charge, but it's probably somewhere along the same lines for your group training or small group training. So that's going to be $300 out of their pocket a month. You have to, one, you know how I often sell it? As a injury reduction, injury prevention twist. Also, it's true. Anybody ever read Easy Strength from Pavel and Dan John? It's awesome. This is one thing also. We spend too much time, martial artists spend too much time on their strength and conditioning, when really what they need to be is more on the mat. If you give them very short, abbreviated, most of my guys, deadlifts, pull-ups, dumbbell inclines, maybe Turkish get-ups. They're in there for 45 minutes despite the warm-up, and then they're done. And then they still have energy. I don't smoke them on every session. They still have energy to go do the sports that they love. I think as the athletes get older also, they'll appreciate the supplemental work to help them stay more flexible, to help them stay more injury resistant. So
maybe you
can always sell it as a a movement quality type of thing? Because a lot of jiu-jitsu guys might be good at jiu-jitsu, but yeah.
A little bit older, more mature, who understand that they need a little time off the mat. And but don't push, you know, if somebody's not responding, you know, and don't keep trying to push it on them.
The competitive guys will not be your market. Your market will be the recreational, a term that I like to use for the older guys, executive athletes or vintage. Those are the guys that will pay, one, because they have money. Man, where I train 20-year-old black belts, maybe not 20, but like 25, 30-year-old black belts come in, camouflage shorts, the noon class, you know, they just woke up at 11:59. They don't have any other responsibility because they live with mom. But the guy's 40 years old, 42 years old, well-grounded in his job. He does it for recreation. He does it to blow off stress from work. He has money to pay you. Approach the recreational athlete. Competitive athletes, jiu-jitsu athletes anyways, and martial artists are broke. You're going to have to sponsor them or something, which I do. But you'll have to sponsor them and maybe have them give them a patch, create a patch, or put it on their back or something like that. But, Joe?
What would you recommend to identify the necessary lie?
Man.
A lot of times, I
repeat that question just so Sean
can How would I identify? So, go say, Joe, real laugh for me, brother.
What would you recommend to identify the necessary lie?
I think you have to really investigate the lifestyle that you want. Here's the thing. Anybody hear this term? Financially poor, lifestyle rich? You can be financially poor. Poor is not a good word. But you can take a hit in your pocket and still have a freaking great lifestyle. You can. When I sold the facility, I took a financial hit. But I don't care. I've been waking up at 4 o'clock for over half of my life. I was in the Marines. I woke up at 3:30. When I got out of the Marines, I had a freaking retail job. I worked the 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. shift. When I had the facilities, I handled the morning shifts. I was done with it. I wanted to see my sons. I took a financial hit. But guess what? I wake up with the sun. I go for a walk in the morning. I walk my dogs. I go train jiu-jitsu. That's it. My lifestyle is rich. I'll take lifestyle over another $40 any day, Joe.
It's a six-figure business.
Yeah.
Between online and the training of people. But he molded his business to fit his lifestyle. Let's get one more question from Mo.
Mo. Yes.
So what gets you off the goal and then you realize that you want to evolve now? And realize that that was a dream a year ago, now you can
just repeat that question.
One more time, Mo.
Alright, so my question is sometimes you get
it was like 30 seconds long. He's yelling at me, Mo. He's always freaking yelling at me. Go ahead, Mo. You talking your martial arts or your business?
Business or martial arts.
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. So, damn, I had a great idea. Discussing play and martial arts, you can approach this. So play is irreducible, right? You do it for the sake of doing it. There's no necessary outcome. There doesn't. If you see two kids playing, they're not worried about playing for 45 minutes. They're not worried about burning body fat. They're not worried about that. They're engaged in that activity simply because it's enjoyable. I would tell you to approach your business life like that, as well as your martial art. I don't have any aspirations of being a world champion. I go there because I enjoy my friends. I enjoy playing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with them, and that's it. I do it simply for the sake of doing it. It's irreducible for no other reason except doing it. The same with business. Ask yourself, Mo, if I didn't make any money from coaching, I would still be coaching. In my high school weight room, I helped the kids that were not as strong as me get stronger. You will gravitate towards what you love to do. Embrace that. There's a great book, Unique Abilities, right? Unique Ability from the coaching program that Zach and I and Paul are in. Unique Ability. Focus on your strengths and delegate the rest. What do you love to do, Mo? Coach? Coach. Then you're only coaching. And get somebody else to answer the phones and get somebody else to do all the paperwork and the filing and everything else like that. Embrace that unique ability. Yeah. I hope that helped.
Mohammed spoke at the TED Speaks conference.
Whoa.
Was it in Dubai you spoke or what?
Yeah.
Where?
Doha, the first
Awesome. Muay Thai. Guy's a badass. But you watch too much porn. I
What's wrong with porn? It's true.
Okay.
Zach doesn't know that I have all this dirt on. One time I came over, we were on the way to New Hampshire, I think, or Connecticut, and he's like, "Yo, I got to run to the bathroom real quick." And on his coffee tables are a bunch of DVDs, and I picked up the DVDs, and guess where at the bottom, Smitty? yeah. I never told you about it, but there's right there, sensual massage.
Holy crap!
How to use KY appropriately. That's it, brother. Anybody else? Guys, you were awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Thank you.